How many of you know positively beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, you'd go to hell? Raise your hand. We ought to have a bunch trust the Lord this morning. We've got a lot of sinners down out here today. How many know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Okay, that's better. Oh, that's better. A lot better. In other words, you know you're redeemed. You know you're redeemed. We often sing a song, I'm redeemed, and I know I've been redeemed. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to talk to you about a subject that many people don't like to talk about today, but I do believe it is very important. A subject on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's mentioned throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament in many types. In the New Testament, it talks many times about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that sometimes that sounds maybe a little repulsive to some people. But if you had to have heart surgery, you're going to have a doctor that's going to have to know what to do with the blood situation. You may have to have someone donate some blood in order to save your life. You know also the risk that you run by having a blood transfusion, especially if the blood has been contaminated or if it has the HIV virus. You don't want to come down with AIDS. And so there's a lot of discussion even going on today about how it can be transmitted in all the various ways. Much has to do in the Word of God about the blood itself. Many refer to the Old Testament as God is just a bloodthirsty God, and that the God of the New Testament is more kind and gracious. But let me assure you, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is the same God. Here in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll notice down here in verse 18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or behavior received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." If you'll notice there in this verse, there's three things in verse 18. We know that from this verse, we are redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should know, one, that we are redeemed. We should also understand by what we are not redeemed. And we should know by what we are redeemed. So if you are redeemed, you should know it. And if you are redeemed, you should know how you were redeemed. And you should know what did not redeem you. See there in verse 18? He makes the statement here, not redeemed with corruptible things. In other words, you and I could not be redeemed or bought back with anything that was corruptible. That means everything in this world is corruptible. So we would have to be redeemed by something from another world. Because everything in this world is corrupt. Every person is corrupt. You and I cannot be redeemed with anything like silver and gold. God even says that is corruptible things, like silver and gold. What he means is that you cannot buy your salvation. If you had all the silver and all the gold in the world, you couldn't pay for it. There's no way, humanly speaking, that you could purchase your salvation. You had nothing to offer. If God had salvation up here on a silver platter, you couldn't purchase it. You couldn't buy it. Because God says what he wants as far as the price goes, you couldn't pay it. It's out of your realm. It cannot be purchased with corruptible things. And since a man is a sinful man, he cannot bring forth the perfect works. Therefore, man cannot redeem himself. We had to be redeemed. And the Bible says that we are redeemed, in verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The book of Hebrews and chapter 9. And I want you to notice a portion of scripture here in verse 22. This is the necessity of the blood. Why is it so important? And yes, it does talk about in the Old Testament where they made sacrifices, but the sacrifices that were made were never to pay for sin. It was only to cover the sin until the payment would be made. So yes, they killed animals, and the animal's blood was taken and poured out upon an altar, and that was to cover their sin, but it never took away any of their sin. It never took away any guilt. It could never remove true forgiveness. It only covered. And so we know that the Bible says here in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, it doesn't take it away unless blood has been shed. Whenever we sin against God, sin, the wages of sin, is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. So since every man has sinned, every man must die. And Jesus Christ, his blood is different from all the blood of the animals, all the bulls and the goats and the bullocks, all that that was corruptible blood. Had to have incorruptible blood, which means that the blood that flowed in the veins of Jesus Christ was not normal blood. It was different kind of blood. It wasn't like the blood in our bodies. You see, you and I have an old sinful nature. Sin is passed on by the fathers down through time. And Jesus was born differently than you and I, in the sense of he had no earthly father. And there's a reason for that, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and he made this payment for all our sins. And he did it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this. We sometimes wonder if we get a stain in a suit, a shirt, a coat, whatever. Have you ever tried what gets out the stains? And you'll hear people talk about Tide can get it out. Clorox can get it out. You'll whisk it away. How do you get rid of the stains of sin upon the soul? God says in the Old Testament, soap won't do it. Acid won't do it. No amount of cleaning products will ever wash away your sin. And yet the Bible says, though your sins be red like crimson, they can be as white as what? As white as snow. Like it leaves no spot, no stains left. How can you and I go to heaven and be spotless? We must be perfect to go to heaven. Well, what can wash away my sin? Anybody know the rest of it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Because there's something that about his blood that can take out the stains of sin upon the soul. A little boy made him a little boat. He was playing with a little boat, and the current took the boat out of his reach and on down the stream. And the little boy lost his boat. He made it with his own hands, and now it was gone. A couple weeks later, he saw a little boy playing with a boat. And he looked at it and he realized, that's my boat. He said, where did you get that boat? He said, I bought it from the used store downtown. He said, that's my boat. He says, it's my boat. He said, no, that's my boat. He said, how much you want for it? He said, I'll take $10 for it. So he worked and got him some money and went and paid the boy $10 to get back his own boat. And he says, now you're twice mine. I created you. I made you. And now I have bought you. That's redeemed, means to purchase back from off the slave market of sin. God created us and gave us a will, and we chose to go astray. We chose to be lost. It's not that God didn't know where we are. It's that we don't know where God is. And people can't find God. And left to ourselves, no man can find God. So God is the one that searches for man. But it's like we're living in two different worlds. And God is using things in this world to try to get our attention and try to get us to see. And he's given us some miraculous thing. And he tells us that he loves us. And that's why this Bible was written. So we could understand the story of how God is trying to redeem man back to himself. What he's gone through, like the little boy trying to redeem the boat back. He says it was lost, and that was my boat. And Christ has given the greatest possession that heaven had in order to purchase us back so that we can belong to him. I want you to take your Bible and look in the book of Leviticus chapter 17. Way over there in the book of Leviticus and chapter 17. Leviticus 17:11 makes the statement about the blood and about the altar that it is offered upon. And if you'll notice there in verse 11, it makes a statement in verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." That is an historical fact. Life is in the blood. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Now that is a historical fact. "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." That's a theological fact. These three things in this one verse. Talking about the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your body is corrupted because the blood that flows in your veins is corruptible blood. Because in our bloodstream carries the curse of sin. Every man sins and every man passes on the sinful nature because of our blood supply has been contaminated. It happened way back in the Garden of Eden. It's kind of like if our original parents, if Adam had AIDS. If Adam had AIDS and he had a child and his child is going to have AIDS and his next kids are going to have AIDS and you would contaminate the whole world, everybody would have it. That's the same as what God is saying with sin. Everybody, because we came from the same parent with contaminated blood. If you and I did not have any curse upon our blood supply, our flesh would probably be a lot different. We could live a lot longer. But there's something wrong with the blood supply. That's what the Bible says. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when God required the life of the person, then God means for the blood to be shed in order to give the man's life. So in order to cover the man's sin so that every man doesn't have to die for all of his sin because there would be nobody left in the human race. So God in his mercy provided used animals. But they were only a type until one day God would send into this world a lamb without spot, without blemish, with incorruptible blood that would be laid upon or poured out upon an altar for the sins of the whole world. In the Old Testament, when a priest went into the Holy of Holies and he offered the blood upon the altar for his own sins and for the sins of the people, well, that would take care of that moment back. Well, the next year, he'd have to go in again, and that would take care of this year and back. And then the next year, he'd have to go again and make an altar, blood upon the altar, for the sins of that year and back. But there would be a time coming in which there would be a high priest that would go into that Holy of Holies and make one blood sacrifice, pour out his blood upon that altar once and for all. You see, a lot of people are like this. They think that when you get saved, you're saved up until that time you believe. And then when you commit some more sins, you got to get You got to get another payment for those sins and get forgiveness for those sins, or you lost again, and it has to be reapplied, and then you have to do it again, and then, well, that's the same as the Old Testament law. Christ was going to make one payment forever, because the payment he would offer would not only be for the sins of the past, but for the sins of the what? Future. That's why he's not coming back to ever make another sacrifice, because the one that he made wasn't just for the past, but also for the future. And that's why he could set down, the job was done. But in the Old Testament, the job was never done. That the blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sin. In other words, it couldn't take the stain out of the soul. The religions of the world is man's attempt to try to remove the stain of sin from the soul, and he can't do it. But one drop of blood, incorruptible blood, shed by Jesus Christ, can remove all the sin of all the world at one time. That's power in the blood. Washing you white as snow. It's mentioned in the book of Psalms, but this is what it's talking about. And also talked about in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 1 and verse 18. Wash you whiter than snow. Snow's white, but to be washed whiter than that. You and I need to understand that Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. Not having an earthly father, there was no father that through the bloodline would contaminate the blood in the Son of Jesus Christ. That's why he had to be born of a virgin, no earthly father. Well, then, where did the blood come from? Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Verse 28. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath," what? "Purchased." And what did he purchase it with? His own blood. This is talking about God did this. God hath done that. God planted the seed, the incorruptible seed, into the womb of Mary. And Mary was used by God to feed the body. But the seed came from God, not a man. That's why that holy thing that was born was the Son of God. So the blood in Jesus Christ was incorruptible blood. That's why the Bible calls it the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He has different kind of blood. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he died, when he shed his blood, have you ever wondered what happened to that blood that was shed? I believe that when Jesus Christ left this earth, he took the blood with him into heaven. Now, I want you to take your Bible and look at this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9. The book of Hebrews, where we began our study, Hebrews and chapter 9. And notice there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. The Bible tells us in verse 11, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come," so we know that Christ is a high priest, "by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building. There is in heaven a heavenly sanctuary or tabernacle where there is a holy of holies and the holy place. All of that is in heaven. The one that Moses built upon the earth, that tabernacle that he built, and they carried with him through the desert, and he set it up. And even the one that Solomon built, Solomon's temple, is all built according to a pattern of a real temple that exists in heaven. Look what he says here in verse 23. "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands down here on the earth, which are the figures of the what? Of the true one. But into where? Heaven itself. Christ entered into heaven where there is another tabernacle, there's another altar in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And the one that Moses built was only a temporary one, patterned after the one that God has up there. So when Jesus Christ went to heaven, he did up there what the high priest did down here. He went and offered a blood sacrifice. He took the blood into heaven. Now look what he says in verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but what's the next words? By his own blood he entered in. You couldn't enter into the Holy of Holies without the blood. The Old Testament high priest, they could not enter into that holy place unless they had the blood of a sacrificed animal without spot and blemish, so they could enter into that and offer it upon the altar. So when Christ enters in, I must believe that Jesus Christ entered into the holy place, to the Holy of Holies, with his own blood and offered it upon the altar for the sins of the whole world. Once and for all. Now notice what it says here. In the last part of verse 12, he, by his own blood, he entered in once, where? Into the holy place. Where? Not down here. He didn't do it in the temple that was standing in Jerusalem. Well, where did he do it? I believe it had to be in heaven, in another tabernacle. And notice what it says. Into the holy place, having obtained what kind of redemption? Eternal redemption for us. Because what they did down here, it was only temporary. It only covered the sin, never took away any sins. That's why Jesus Christ, when he came, he was a lamb without spot. He had incorruptible blood. He had the kind of blood that can take and wash away the sin from your soul and make you white as snow and make you perfect in God's eyes. So you go to heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you clean. There's churches today that don't even want to have songs that has anything to do with the blood. They want to take out those song books that have anything to do with the blood. But I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is not just like the blood of a normal individual. I believe that Jesus Christ took his blood to heaven. How much of his blood would be necessary to pay for all the sins of the world? I believe one drop will do. But I don't know how much, and I really don't care. If his blood is still some stained on the ground over in Israel, I believe his blood is incorruptible blood. It will never corrupt. That's his blood. That's where God said he hath purchased his church with his own blood. Now notice what he says here. In order to obtain eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled of the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the what? The blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament or the new contract by means of death, because he is like a person who is real rich and he made out a will, and the will is no good until the person made out of the will dies. So he died. The testator has died. His will is in effect. And everyone that will pass through the blood, he says, are washed pure and clean. That's what God has done for us. And then he says down here in the last part of verse 15, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In other words, the high priest that was this year and then another year. And then that's just like the people today who teach you can be saved today and what tomorrow? Lost tomorrow. God have pity upon people who think you can be saved today and lose it tomorrow. Do I believe in once saved, always saved? There is no other salvation. I had a preacher tell me one time, he says, you mean you believe in that damnable doctrine of once saved, always saved? There is no other salvation. And you're either eternally saved or you're not saved at all. Hebrews chapter 10 and look in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified, that word means to be made pure and holy and set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What's the next three words? Once for all. Once you believe that he did that for you, he puts that payment he made on the cross to your account, and you are washed pure and clean as though you've never sinned in your whole life. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Now look in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected forever. I wonder what those words mean. Remember this, if you're depending upon your good works to get you to heaven, you're lost. Your salvation had to be purchased with something that was incorruptible, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Look up here. Letting this hand represent you and me, and this wallet represents sin. We all have sin upon us. Now God says he loves us. He hates our sin. And our sins separates us from God. The Bible says we've all sinned, and the payment for that sin is eternal separation from God in hell. And that's why everybody's condemned, because everybody sins. We need a Savior. This hand represents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us. Now he hates our sin because it separates us from him. So Christ took the sin, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. God said if we'll believe that he did it for us, he'd put this payment that he already made to our account. And we would go to heaven on what Jesus Christ did for us. That is applying the blood to the soul. And it washes you white as snow. Nothing else will do it. There is no other detergent in the world. It had to come from outside of this world. The incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we?